Good morning. We're calling to order this Wednesday, July 25th, 2018, variance hearing. I'm Scott Sanchez, the zoning administrator, here with Ava Ateo-Taylor, who's at the controls of the executive secretary for the hearing today. And learning from the master, we have Laura Bell Cook, who will be filling in for future variance hearings. Some general information about the hearing. The order of presentation, the applicant and or owner will be allowed 5 minutes to present oral arguments as to how the 5 findings necessary to justify granting of a variance have been met. The applicant should also submit their declaration of posting when they approach to present their case. Any members of the public, either proponents or opponents, will be allowed 3 minutes each to speak. The applicant or owners will be allowed 3 minutes rebuttal if there's any public comment in opposition. During the hearing, you may ask questions of the applicant or members of the public. At the end of the item, may close the public hearing and take the matter under advisement, or may indicate a potential decision today, or may continue the item to a later date. Items on the consent calendar are routine, or considered to be routine. If anyone would like to speak on one of those items, please step forward when the item is called. Otherwise, those items will be granted. That's very important. There'll be no further public hearing on that. If anyone has any opposition or concerns about the consent calendar items, please step forward. At the end of the hearing, we will have a general public comment for items that are not on the agenda, and members of the public will be allowed 3 minutes each to speak. Now, the criteria for justifying a variance under Planning Code Section 305C states that in order to grant a variance, the zoning administrator must determine that the facts of the case are sufficient to establish the following 5 findings. Finding number 1, that there are exceptional and extraordinary circumstances applying to the property involved or to the intended use of the property that do not apply generally to other property or uses in the same class of district. Finding number 2, that owing to such exceptional and extraordinary circumstances, the literal enforcement of specified provisions of the planning code would result in practical difficulty or unnecessary hardship not created by or attributable to the applicant or owner of the property. Finding number 3, that such variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of a substantial property right of the subject property possessed by other property in the same class of district. Finding number 4, that the granting of such variance will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare, materially injurious to the property or improvements in the vicinity. And finally, finding number 5, that the granting of such variance will be in harmony with the general purpose and intent of the planning code and will not adversely affect the general plan. No decision is final till a written decision letter is issued. Due to current backlogs, it may take up to 2 months from the date of this hearing for a decision letter to be issued. If anyone would like to receive a copy of that letter, please sign in on the sign-in sheets on the far wall. That's very important because it is the written decision which is appealable, and the written decision may be appealed to the Board of Appeals within 10 days of the date of the issuance of the letter. Other items, private conversations can be disruptive during the hearing. While we do encourage parties to meet and discuss these projects, we ask that that be done outside of the hearing so as to avoid disturbing others. The next variance hearing is scheduled for Wednesday, August 27, 2018, and audio recordings of these hearings going back to January 2011 are available on our website as a link on the hearing agenda. And we can move to our consent item. We do have at least one housekeeping item, and that is item number 2, which is on the consent calendar, 3535 Fillmore Street, case number 2017-009977-VAR. It came to my attention from staff that the poster was not posted for this variance request. It's to allow an ADU, it's an exposure variance, and actually under pending legislation, a variance would not even be required for this project. So we will be taking this item off of the calendar. Is there anyone who has questions or comments about case number 2 for 3535 Fillmore Street? Seeing none, we'll note that that item comes off of the agenda and we can move to the consent calendar.
So there are now 2 items in our consent calendar. Item number 1, case number 2018-0089-21-VAR, 355 Fulton Street, rear yard variance sought. Item number 3, case number 2018-0027-67-VAR, 75 Santa Marina Street, modification of condition of approval variance sought.
Is there any public comment on item number 1 for 355 Fulton Street or item number 3 for 75 Santa Marina Street? Which project?
The active poster.
Okay, you're the project sponsor. You don't have any public comment in opposition. Okay. So I see that there is no public comment in opposition. to either of these projects, item one for 355 Fulton Street or item three for 75 Santa Marina Street. So we can close the public hearings on both of those items and grant the requested variances, allowing us to move on to the regular calendar.
First item on our regular calendar, item number four, case number 2018-001437 VAR, 1282 35 Avenue, rear yard and exposure variances sought. Project sponsor, you have 5 minutes.
Hi, my name is Kelly Melendez. I'm the architect and project sponsor for 1282 35th Avenue. This project is requesting to build an ADU at the first floor of a three-story single-family residence. We have a request for a rear yard variance exception and for an exposure variance. I would like to explain to you the conditions. I know you're familiar with this case. I know our planner has spoken with Mr. Sanchez about this issue. I will just explain it a little further if I can.
As you can see.
Can you speak up to the mic, please?
I am. I'm just putting this on the.
The conditions that we have in this particular building and on many of the buildings in, on this street is there is a laundry porch or a rear addition that exists on most all of the properties, actually. And what we are trying to do is to utilize the whole downstairs for a two-bedroom ADU. This is the property right here. As you can see, most of the properties have these additions and built onto the back of the buildings. What we are looking to do is a very minor rear yard encroachment of 4 feet 2 inches, which would be, I'm going to step away from the microphone to point again.
You can bring the mic.
I can bring it with me, okay. So right in this area here, behind these trees, at the first floor only, we are requesting to infill 4 feet 2 inches. This accomplishes two things. It allows the building, I'm going to again switch over here. That allows us to actually have a usable second bedroom instead of a single studio or a one-bedroom apartment, which is very common in these type of additions. We're able to get two smaller bedrooms if we can push back. It allows us to have a second doorway, as you can see right in here. This is the addition right in here. It is completely with behind the current extension into the rear yard. So it accomplishes two things. It gets us a second bedroom in the unit, and it also brings our rear yard exposure closer to the 25 by 25 back rear yard that we're asking for a variance from, because we're within feet of it. But if we don't do the addition, we're even farther away, and then if we do the addition, we also get that second bedroom. We feel it is very important to bring this building up to the two units which it is zoned for. Many of the buildings in the neighborhood have, and unfortunately this particular lot is close to the corner. The majority of the mid-block lots are 120 feet in length. This one, because it is adjacent and to the corner of 35th and Irving, it is truncated to 90 feet, which then means it is unable to enjoy the rear yard setback benefits of the other lots on the street. We do have support from many of the neighbors, 1278 35th Avenue, 1279 35th Avenue, 1277 35th Avenue, and more importantly, our immediate neighbors, both sides, are in favor and are in support of this project. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer any at this time.
Thank you. My understanding, the Section 311 notification is currently underway and expires in early August. Is that?
That is correct, and I'm not entirely sure. There was some timing issues with Kathleen Campbell in the issuance of that. We posted it immediately as we were provided, and so I cannot turn in the posting declaration at this time because it's not complete.
You should be able to do it for the variance, because there'll be two declarations, one for the variance and one for the 311. So if you don't have the variance declaration today, you can provide that to staff, but we don't need that. And it was my understanding from staff that this will actually not be an ADU, it's not eligible for the ADU program.
That's correct. I've been switching back and forth with terminology. Because it is zoned RH2, it will be a true second unit, not an ADU. That's correct.
Thank you. We'll see if there's any public comment on this item.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We're on item number 4 for 1282 35th Avenue. Is there any public comment on this item? Seeing none, we close the public hearing and inclined to grant the requested variance, noting that as the project is seeking to provide the second bedroom, and I think that the applicant has demonstrated a code-compliant project that did not result in the encroachment in the rear yard, that second bedroom would be less feasible. That unfortunately, that also prevents the ability of having an ADU here, but noting the lot depth as it relates to the adjacent lots, find that the findings have been met for the variance to allow the density to be achieved under the zoning. We can move on to the next item.
Item number 5, case number 2016-008470 VAR, 583 22nd Avenue, front setback variance sought. Project sponsor, please approach the mic, ma'am. You have 5 minutes.
Good morning. My name is Patrice Fambrini, and on behalf of Jaden Consulting, we're representing the property owner, Mr. Zell. I was hoping that the design team, innovative consulting engineer who we were supporting in this, were fairly new in the project, and we'd like to take this opportunity to thank the project planner, Christopher May, for providing his assistance and guidance on the case. And we appreciate the staff's support as the project has been reviewed and revised. The project includes the alteration and expansion of an existing single-family dwelling in an RH2 zoning district in order to add a second family-sized dwelling unit while also completing a voluntary seismic upgrading of the property. In order to do so, the project sponsor is seeking a front setback variance to construct the third and fourth vertical additions above the existing, specifically the third floor, which is proposed to be aligned with the facade of the existing two-story structure, which is currently not set back from the front lot line and therefore is subject to a variance requirements, section 132. And given that the building was there already and the second story is now not in compliance with the rear yard averaging of the two adjacent buildings, the variance is required. The design team has worked extensively with the planner to modify the facade to be in compliance with everything that RDAT recommended, and the setback aligns with the third story that is being supported by staff and is in keeping with the neighbor at 587 22nd Avenue. The original variance also included a rear yard variance, and in discussing and taking the suggestions of staff, the owner agreed to pull back the fourth story to where the recommendation was, and the third floor, as interpreted by the staff and the zoning administrator, is shown to be in compliance with the rear yard, so we're no longer seeking that rear yard variance. If the innovative consulting group is here, they could show a picture, but since I only have the 311 that was sent out, if you'd care to see that.
I have the plans on the document.
Okay.
So, I mean, if you have anything else, we can continue, or we can see if there's public comment.
We did a neighborhood meeting, and there was nobody that attended, and we have received no comments, and Christopher said he didn't receive any phone calls prior to the hearing for us to respond to.
That's my understanding as well. And I think the Section 311 notification probably just going out this week. And
oh, okay.
But it's my understanding that that will expire on August 25th.
Oh,
for the
thank you.
311 notice.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you. We'll see if there's any public comment on item number 5 for 583 22nd Avenue. Any public comment on this item? Seeing none, close the public hearing and inclined to grant the requested variance, noting that they're adding an additional dwelling unit and it's an existing legal non-complying structure that's located within the required front setback. The proposal is just to match the existing condition.
Moving to item number 6, case number 2017-004726 VAR, 258 Cumberland Street, front setback variance side. Project sponsor for this case, would you please approach the mic? You have 5 minutes.
Good morning. My name is Suhail Shatar. I'm the architect for the project. Scott, I think you had a question on the demolition.
Yeah.
Sorry, it didn't come sooner.
That's all right, and you know, I'll ask staff to kind of further review and confirm.
That's
the
fine.
Calculations.
Thank you. Do you want me to speak, or you want to speak?
That's your time.
So on the overhead, you can see the highlighted area in the front setback that's being added on the second floor. And on the ground level, we are infilling that area that's in being pochéd right here, which is an expansion of the garage to the front. So at the top, at the second level, there is an overhang. So the dashed line right over here represents the overhang to the front of the building. So if you look at the front elevations, this area here is hanging over those two bays, and the infill is underneath those two bays. So those bays are squared off bays, basically, and that's the impact on the front setback.
Is that all?
I think so.
So what's your justification for the variance, and how does the project meet the five findings? I understand the scope, but how are the findings met?
I'm not sure if I have an arguable condition, except for the fact that we have this mass that hangs over. I don't really have a justification for the additional frontage, other than trying to infill the mass. We're I think within a foot or less of the front setback. No, let's see. No, we're greater than a foot, but we're just squaring off the base. You know, the base. I'm not sure how I can justify.
Well, if you're not sure, then I don't know how we can grant the variance. So.
Well, very honestly, I'm asking for your help here, Scott.
Well, you're the applicant, and you know, we look forward to the applicant to put forward the argument, the unique circumstances. We've heard other applicants, you know, cite the common things, or topography, or lot depth, or whether there's an existing.
Well, you know, there's
structure. The last case, it was existing legal non-compliant structure within the front setback. They were doing a vertical addition to accommodate a second dwelling unit. We're aligning with the existing non-compliant condition. What's the justification for the expansion here?
Well, there's neighborhood character throughout the block that has, you know, buildings further to the front than we do. We went through an extensive pre-application process with the neighbors. We had our last meeting just a few days ago. Our expansion to the rear is allowed much greater than we had gone for. We set it back based on neighbors' comments. We worked with the neighbors back and forth to lose the back of the area, so we're trying to gain a little bit more at the front. and we had the potential for roof decks and other balconies and more massing at the rear. We were curtailed by negotiation with the neighbors, and basically we accommodated the neighbors as much as we could. We lost square footage, we lost mass. We're trying to gain a little bit at the front, more for aesthetic reasons than anything else, but it's also a matter of space.
So you're saying that there were reductions in the code-complying envelope at the rear to address neighbor concerns that are leading to some expansion at the front of the property?
That's a justifiable argument, I believe.
And what I think staff had told me that this building was relocated to this property in the 1940s, is that?
This building was located on 22nd in Kansas. It was relocated. A permit showed that there was a pitched roof. The pitched roof was probably taken off to be relocated to the site. It was put on the site. This new flat roof was added to the building. There's about 6'6" of attic area that's flat above the ceiling of the second floor. So, you know, this building has some integrity issues that were lost during that whole reconfiguration.
My understanding, I think the neighborhood notification is just going out this week for the 311. I just got the dates last night from staff. It will go out now and will expire on August 30th. It was my understanding that there was a neighbor community outreach meeting just a couple days ago on the 23rd. Can you tell me the results of that?
So the neighbors were concerned about the rear balcony on the third level. They were also concerned about half bathroom, a powder room underneath an existing staircase that's being removed. The powder room was only 36 square feet. They felt it was an impingement on their below mass corridor at the ground level that eliminated light to their lower level, which is not habitable. So we agreed that we will remove that in order to keep the balcony at the third level. So we did that. We made the modifications. I have a new set of plans here that shows that being removed. Okay. If you'd like to see that.
Yeah, I have the latest plans that I have are dated July 5th. So is there a more recent?
Yes, there are.
Okay. And staff told me that at one point there was a roof deck on the building, but that's been removed. And is that correct?
We had a roof deck. We had a fourth level enclosed roof deck that's opened on the ends.
Oh, yeah.
We had several criteria of sound screening and visual screening for the adjacent neighbors to the east, since they have skylights along that eastern property line.
Okay.
And they were concerned about privacy issues. So we've kind of stepped every step of the way. We took off the top pitch. We lowered the pitch. We lowered the... So the difference in height from the existing flat roof to the top of the ridge itself is about 7 feet, plus or minus.
Okay.
So it's not much of a mass. Then if you measure to the midpoint of the pitch, then it's only about a 4 foot difference.
All right. We'll see if there's any public comment on this item.
Okay.
Appreciate your...
I'm going to leave you a new set of plans to look at.
That'd be great. Thank you. So is there any public comment on item number 6? Thank you. For 258 Cumberland Street. Any public comment on this item? Seeing none, I close the public hearing, take the matter under advisement. I would like our staff to kind of further review the details of the demolition calculations that were updated today, as well as Mr. Shatar, if you could provide a summary of the changes that have been made over time. It sounds like there's been a lot of work with the neighbors, and so if you could maybe itemize changes that have been made from the original proposal to get to the most latest version, so I can see how the building has been cut back where it could otherwise be developed. Do you have a question about that? Or?
No, but I'll give that to Chris Towns' staff so he can communicate with you on that.
Okay. Thank you.
Right? Thank you very much.
Thank you. And with that, we can move on to the next item.
Moving to item number 7, case number 2016-006639-VAR, 3735 20th Street, rear yard variance sought. The project sponsor?
Hello, I'm the project sponsor, Clint Simpson, here for the architect. I have the affidavit of posting. Thanks so much. We're here requesting a rear yard variance for a small 137-foot deck on the rear of an existing three-story house at the same elevation as the existing deck. Hopefully I've got that. Maybe you can see this one. So in the drawing there, you see the existing with the small deck in place, and this is the new deck at the same elevation, and adding new stairs down to an on-grade small platform in the backyard. The intention of the variance is to give the owners and their small children better use of a very steep backyard. We've received one letter of complaint from Joanne Dare Hart of 120 through 124 Liberty Street, which is an adjacent property to the back and upside a hill. The letter that she sent in had a number of points which we'd like to rebut in that they are false. One of the complaints is that the new deck could shadow the existing property at 120 through 124 Liberty Street. However, the property in question is about 46 feet above sea level above the existing property of 3735 20th Street. So there would be no possibility of casting shadows onto that neighbor's property. It also claims that it's a contiguous property. However, as it's defined, looking at the Sanborn map, they do not share any property corner. So another incorrect statement. The existing property at 120 through 124 Liberty Street currently casts shadows onto the property of 3735 20th Street at numerous times during the day, also with the trees in their yard. Any questions? They note different objections to possible lighting, possible use of the yard, possible noise, possible effect of their property value, possible effect to their current tenants, which all have no bearing on whether or not this variance should go through.
Thank you. And this property was subject to a certificate of appropriateness. Is that correct? So you already had a hearing before the Historic Preservation Commission. That was approved. There were no concerns expressed at that time. Is that correct? And also the property on Liberty, I believe, would be, in addition to being further up slope, it's also to the south. So I think with
to the west, I believe.
But I think Liberty is blocked to the south of.
Oh, yes. So sorry. Excuse me. Yes.
The
sun goes that way.
Okay, we'll see if there's any public comment.
Okay,
thank you.
Thank you very much.
Item number 7 for 3735 20th Street. Is there any public comment on this item? Seeing no public comment, inclined to grant the requested variance. Appreciate the project sponsor's kind of thorough discussion of the concerns that were raised, and also note the HPC's previous approval of the C of A for this project.
Moving to item number 8, case number 2018-002358 VAR, 201 Ashton Avenue, front setback variance sought. 5 minutes,
maybe. And before you begin, and you may not be aware of this, because I just received it this morning, got an email from Suzanne McDonald of ITHA, the Neighborhood Association, the Ingleside Terraces Homes Association. They have concerns about the project and they are requesting a continuance of the matter. I just received this at about 15 minutes before the hearing started, and so I just with that. I'm assuming you have not heard of that request yet.
No, we have not.
But we'll, why don't you go through your presentation and we'll go from there.
Okay, thank you so much. My name is Mahal Emberton, and this is my wife, Raylan Rupel, and we're the owners and the project sponsor. And we want to thank you for the opportunity to speak with you today about our recent like-for-like replacement of a dilapidated 4-foot wooden fence with a new 4-foot wooden fence, and highlight our shared project goals of removing blight, increasing safety, and investing in neighborhood community building.
First and foremost, our goal with the like-for-like replacement of the dilapidated rotting four-foot fence with the new four-foot fence was to comply with our Community Preservation and Blight Reduction Act of the San Francisco Administrative Code. We agree with the purpose of the code and agree with the Board of Supervisors that anti-blight provisions are vital to ensuring the quality of life in San Francisco's 24 neighborhoods and the city and county as a whole. The replacement of the deteriorating fence complies with this code not only by replacing the blighted fence, but also by addressing Public Works Code Section 174 through 174.13, Sidewalk Nuisance and Enforcement, and Section 706, Sidewalk Revitalization. Our decision to remove blight and invest in our yard to reduce crime and improve the neighborhood is not only in alignment with evidence, as summarized in a 2016 article from Landscape and Urban Planning, that shows that cues to care, the inverse of the broken window hypothesis, can lead to reduced crime by signaling to criminals the presence of social capital and the active involvement of neighbors in community spaces. And more appealing landscaping draws more eyes on the street, which in turn deters criminals. In addition to the sidewalk revitalization and sidewalk safety that the new fence provides, it also provides safety to our child, her friends, and my niece, whom we regularly encourage to play outside. As we live across from a business district, and because we live on the corner of a busy and atypical intersection, the four-foot height of the fence is essential to maintaining a safe outdoor play environment for these children. The 2002 clinical report by the American Academy of Pediatrics discussing the importance of outdoor play to child development highlights common urban environmental dangers as a typical barrier to safe outdoor play. While the authors encourage policymakers and community leaders to work together to prioritize the need for safe spaces for families to gather and for children to play, they also end by stating that all children have the right to safe places to play regularly. We believe that the four-foot height of the fence creates a safe outdoor space for our child and her playmates to play in, and the front yard also engages them with nature as they help maintain and care for our numerous fruit trees, herbs, vegetables, and shrubs. Another safety issue addressed by the visible four-foot height of the fence is driver safety. As our home has been hit by cars driving through the atypical intersection on more than one occasion, the four-foot height of the fence is essential to increasing its visibility to drivers. The wooden structure of the fence adds to this visibility, an important component that would be lost by a chain link or similar type of fence. While the four-foot height of the fence has created more safety to pedestrians walking on the sidewalks, children at play, our two dogs, and drivers, it is also fundamental to building community engagement. We anticipate that one could argue that we also have a backyard and that the children and dogs could play safely back there. However, hiding in the backyard does nothing to enhance community engagement or add to the safety eyes on the street principle that are achieved by spending time in our front yard. We are strong believers in community engagement and welcome the opportunity to spend more time in our front yard in order to get to know our neighbors as well as community service members. There is not a day that goes by that we do not say hello to or converse with less than a dozen passersby, and our child can chat with the firefighters who regularly check the hydrants across the street. The four-foot height of the fence does not limit views of the yard to passersby and is actually short enough to allow people to lean over and converse over. As we have also planted 28 trees in our yard over the last 6 years, we also enjoy many discussions about the progress that we have made and the future fruits that we hope to be able to share with our neighbors and community members. When discussing the importance of community engagement, one must also consider neighborhood preservation and property values. The four-foot height of the fence is in alignment with neighborhood norms and is the same height as the front yard fences of both of our next-door neighbors, as well as houses along the busy streets of Ashton and Holloway. Secondly, the choice of wood rather than chain link or similar material enhances the look of the property, matches the style of our home, and architecturally increases property values, all of which have been noted and valued by our neighbors and is evidenced by our 57 signatures of support and 10 letters of support. Thank you again for your time and consideration.
Thank you. So have you had any communication with the association?
No, sir.
They haven't reached out to you? And
no, sir.
Also reached out to them?
Many years ago, I sent them plans for the front yard design, and no one got back to me.
And then one of the things that they raised is that this work was done without benefit of permit and was an enforcement issue. Can you explain how that came to be?
I built the fence. I was not aware that a permit was needed because I was taking down that horrendous picket fence and building one at the same height. So I wasn't aware of any problem until the notice of violation, till the building department came out. And the way that the building department was informed of the project is that there was a complaint of that I was playing music during the day while working on the fence. It was just my cell phone playing.
Okay.
So that's the only complaint that I have ever received that I'm not aware of who that person is.
Okay. And I know that can be confusing because Department of Building Inspection typically does not require a permit for a fence of less than 6 feet in height. However, in this case, there is a front setback requirement under the planning code, not the building code, and that's what's triggering this variance. Some of the issues that are raised in the letter from the association seem to focus on the columns that are there, the historic columns that are there. I'm assuming that those are on your property?
Yes.
Yes.
And we left the fence open, so the columns are not covered,
right.
Actually.
So it's consistent with how it was before? And,
correct.
Certainly the fence that was there before was not in the best shape. It even proved that with the fence. But it looks like maybe the columns have not been touched. Do you have any plans on painting or?
We'd like to restore the columns would be our goal, because the previous owners looks like they painted over and over them, so
yeah.
They're not back to their original state. We would love to maintain that historic component of the neighborhood property and would love the Homeowners Association to help with that project if they so desire.
Thank you. We'll see if there's any public comment in their email. They said that they wouldn't be attending today, but we'll see if there's any public comment nonetheless.
Thank you.
You
can leave those up, probably.
Is there any public comment on item number 8 for 201 Ashton Avenue? Please step forward.
You have 3 minutes, ma'am.
Hi. Morning. My name is Lori Dolly. I've lived in the neighborhood since 1981, been a homeowner since 1987. Everyone drives by this house. It is the main drag between getting off of 280 and going to San Francisco State University. Before they put in a stop sign there, that house was regularly hit by cars going through that intersection. And those columns that they show, that's what it was getting bashed. I mean, the front door was being saved because the cars were hitting those columns. Everybody knows our new neighbors. I talked to some of the old neighbors before, but they couldn't play outside. Their kids couldn't play outside. It simply wasn't safe. So even before they built the house, they built a water fountain. They've got a nice fire pit out in front. Then they started building the house. What they didn't show you is a picture at night. On the Holloway side, Ray Lynn put in down lights right there. So when you're walking your dog, which is how we originally met because we both have dogs, or just out for a walk, they've made the whole side of the neighborhood and the sidewalk safer. That fence is low enough to pet their dog. Their fence is low enough to have a conversation. Because they are outside, like they said, people do stop and talk to them. In the photograph, if you could see it up close, actually doesn't do the fence justice. It's beautiful. And one of my daughters is moved away, so when she comes back to Christmas, she's been looking at the progress over the time. She goes, wow, that looks really nice. That looks really, really nice. And so many people in the neighborhood did sign the petition. I don't know if anyone here is old enough to remember, but that neighborhood in the 80s was kind of blighted, and there were a lot of drugs in the neighborhood, and people like Mahal and Ray Lynn have moved in, improved their properties, and you know, aka the you know, the broken window theory, that whole neighborhood, that whole street has gotten a lot nicer and a lot safer. Thank you
very much. Any other public comment on item number 8 for 201 Ashton Avenue?
You also have 3 minutes, sir.
I have a store next door to this house, and this fence, she made it, is so beautiful, then it's so strong, it raised the value of my property. No? So before this, long time back, this house used to be a drug house in the 70s. And after that, two owners I've seen there, they not made any improvements to this house. And now they moved about 6-7 years back and they have made much improvement. This fence is so beautiful that everybody appreciate. When they were making it, at least 50 customers mine, they say, she's working so hard on this fence. So this fence is beautiful. If it's any kind of clause that not satisfied, that should be overseen. That's the point. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment? You can please step forward, sir.
You have 3 minutes, sir.
I'm Richard Hendry. I live 423 Faxon, which is a couple of blocks up Holloway. And we moved into the neighborhood in 2013. In the 60s, I lived across the hill in Ocean View. And being like 10, 12 years old at the time, we wandered all over the neighborhood. And I can definitely tell you that this area used to be, I mean, my area used to be dangerous. This area was dangerous with different gangs. That's a long time ago, and of course everything has changed. But when we moved in 2013, the old picket fence was out front. The house was painted differently. The yard wasn't fixed up. And again, like others, I got to know the ladies by walking my dog. I can say that I make a point of walking past this house, because if they're out in the yard, I get to talk to them. And I'll lean on the fence. I'm only 5'6", so it's not that bad. And pet their dog, as was said, and we talk about all kinds of things. We talk about, sometimes about the petty theft in the neighborhood, package stealing. Someone said that there used to be drugs. Well, there's still drugs. It's far less. But, and by the way, I go into the Good Guys Market because I'm up there. And it's one of the few remaining corner stores in the area. There's stuff down along Ocean, there's Whole Foods, there's a Safeway up the hill. And I go in and get my lottery ticket. This to me is a vast improvement. I like it. I think the design of the fence is perfect with the house. And I also want to say that I was one of the things I noticed was the danger of that intersection, because I drive there. And I'm one of the ones who, I travel. So I'm headed down Holloway to get to 280 to get to the airport. And a lot of times, you know, that intersection right there, you drive when you come down Holloway straight at that house. And then there's a doglet. So this fence, I think, does improve safety. And it's certainly better for the little kids I see playing there. And seeing the little kids makes my life better. So that's all.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment on this item number 8 for 201 Ashton? Seeing no other public comment, I've got just one question for the project sponsor. So the fence is at 4 feet now. A code compliant fence in the front setback is 3 feet, reducing a height by 1 foot, and actually just for only even a portion of that, because part of this could be 10 feet tall under the planning code, the part that's on the side, beyond the front setback. So it seems that you balance what's allowed by the code and what's not. Just, I heard you have a dog. If it were to be lowered to 3 feet, would your dog be a flight risk, potentially?
Are we also worried that there are a lot of other dogs could easily get over a shorter fence and get into our yard because of our dogs?
Okay, thank you. So with that, I'll take the close the public hearing. I appreciate all public comment, but in particular appreciate the fact that the public comes out in support of a project. It's something even kind of as small as this, to take time out of the day to come out to support your neighbors. I think says a lot, and I appreciate the comments that were provided. They're very helpful. I don't know why the Neighborhood Association couldn't be here today, and why we only had 15 minutes before the hearing before we actually got comments. So I'm not inclined to grant the continuance of the item, but I will, what we call, take it under advisement. We're generally supportive of the variance request, but would ask that you do talk to the Neighborhood Association. Maybe there could be some synergy there with maintaining and upgrading the poles that are there. They seem to, in their email, which I just kind of only had time to breeze through, talk about it being a feature of the neighborhood. Maybe they're even willing to help with the maintenance and upgrade of that, those columns. So with that, generally supportive of the variance, would ask that you talk to the neighborhood group to have a look at ways of maintaining and upgrading those columns to make them as nice as the rest of the property that you've done. So,
is there a timeline that you'd like to be updated on that discussion?
I mean, I think, you know, within a week or so,
okay,
that'd be fine.
And do we send that to you?
To staff. I think Jeff Warren is the project planner, so you can just be in communication with him. I'll ask him to forward you the email that we received this morning, so you can make contact with them and get back to us.
Okay. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. And we can move on to the next item.
Moving to item number 9, case number 2017-002602VAR, 565 Ortigas Street, front setback and rear yard variances sought. Project sponsor, you have 5 minutes, sir.
You just need the top. Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. I'm Darren Iguchi. I'm an architect with John Lum Architecture and am the project sponsor for 565 Ortega. We are seeking a front setback variance to extend a new wood screening under an existing roof hang to create a trash enclosure, and are also seeking a rear yard variance to legalize an existing guest house and deck that is located in the required 25% rear yard. Regarding the front setback variance, the front of the existing building is non-conforming, as the front wall of the building at its lowest level sits approximately 5'3" beyond the average setback line. The proposed wood screening extends in line with the front of the garage and returns to the existing northern wall of the laundry mechanical room to create an enclosure for trash, compost, and recycling bins. The wood screening does not extend beyond the existing roof overhang above the garage. The existing roof overhang is being converted into a balcony deck with a new guardrail and has been approved by planning and does not require a variance. The granting of the front setback variance would allow for the 4-foot lateral extension of wood screening to the western edge of the existing roof overhang, and we feel that that's a superior architectural solution to screen the garbage cans. Please note that our original front setback variance request included the proposed roof deck above the garage. Upon further review by the project planner, it was determined that the conversion of the existing roof overhang above the garage into a deck did not require a variance. Regarding the rear yard variance, we are proposing no changes to the existing structure in the rear yard. There is no building permit on file regarding the existing guest house, but previous owners have said that the structure was built in 1967 as a nanny unit at the time that the permitted two-story rear addition was built, permit number 311323. The existing structure has been used continuously since that time by 5 owners prior to the current owner. The subject's lot slopes steeply up to the southwest from Ortega Street. The slope of the hillside is such that the neighboring properties behind the subject property, which front on Pacheco Street, are considerably higher than the top of the main house and the existing rear guest house at 565 Ortega. Because of the neighbor's higher elevation, the existing structures at 565 Ortega do not block their view or infringe on their open space. The granting of the rear yard variance would legalize a guest house that has existed for more than 50 years and does not represent a new impact on the community. In addition, planning policy would prevent us from removing existing living space. Thanks.
Thank you. So is the rear building used as a separate dwelling unit? It's
It is not used as a separate dwelling. It does not have cooking facilities. The owners have, they don't intend on renting it out, but if it, they would be open to the prospect of converting it to an ADU if that would be helpful in approving the variance.
Thank you. And to clarify the policy, it is regarding kind of the removal of the existing dwelling units, separate units, whether legal or not. So it's unclear whether that policy, I think actually it's a code requirement under Section 317, would apply here if this was not ever used as a separate unit. But it's been in place for some 50 years. Staff told me it was, you know, possibly constructed in 67 at the same time as a magic room. I don't know what that was.
Yeah,
I guess it was 67. So why come forward now with the legalization, was, which is great, but is it, yeah, there a violation?
No, it was actually, we had gotten a site permit for the new deck at the front and replacing doors at the front facade, and the project planner at the time said, oh, there's this building back here, it needs to be legalized. So basically that's why we took, we submitted for the variance.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I think neighborhood identification for the 311 has not yet commenced, but let me see if there's any public comment otherwise on this project. So any public comment on item number 9 for 565 Ortega Street? Public comment item 9 for 565 Ortega. Seeing no public comment, close the public hearing. Be inclined to grant the requested variance. I think it's a very modest request for the front setback, with really no additional impact on the front setback. You're carrying over the existing line of the building and providing screening for the garbage, which is a requirement under the Public Works Code. So can understand that requirement, and legalization of the rear structure, which does appear to have existed for some time without any apparent adverse impact, and surely no complaints that we're aware of. So we can move on to the next item. Thank
Moving
you.
To item number 10, case number 2017-012385 VAR, 246 Missouri Street, rear yard variance lot. Project sponsor for this case, please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Hi. So this is remodeling an existing space from the back, and the it's a TIC of about 1,200 square feet. Essentially, it's two bedroom. The living area is in the back, and currently that area, I guess, was once a scullery with a low 8 foot. It's actually a little below 8 feet roof, about 7'10". And we would like to raise that roof so it matches the height of the roof, the ceilings in the rest of the apartment, because it's really the main living space. You can see from this photo, this is the subject property.
Can you please speak to the microphone, sir?
This is the subject property. You can see that there are a number of other additions that are higher and farther back in the rear. This is looking to the south. You have the same situation looking to the north. These are all further into the rear yard setback than the subject property, and you can see many of the buildings have roofs that are higher than 30 feet. I was contacted by two neighbors. They both supported the project. I have heard no negative comments from any neighbors. That's it.
Thank you. So the existing shed roof will be raised to align with the existing floor to ceiling heights and the remainder of the property.
That's the intention, yes.
And I think on the original proposal, that flat roof that was created at the rear had some parapet above it.
And that's been removed. Okay. There is no parapet.
Thank you. And you just went through a fire rated roof?
Presumably. Yes, 1 hour roof.
All right. Thank you. And the 311 has not yet been performed. I didn't get an update from staff on that.
Yeah, I think it was, but I'm a little confused because, in fact, actually, I never got a letter for either one of the variance hearings.
Oh,
which was strange.
Hopefully other people did. Well, we will look into that one certainly. But I know because this item was a no-show.
And I apologize for that. I had originally thought that it was going to be a consent item. Okay. That's what I was led to believe.
No problem. All right, well, let's see if there's any public comment on this item, on item number 10, 4246 Missouri Street. Any public comment? Item 10, 246 Missouri. Seeing none, hopefully the notice did go out. We will double check that.
Well, other people did reach me, so okay. I think it was just me.
We'll double check that with our staff. Because when you do with the radius, you probably with the radius services, they usually put you on as the neighbor.
Yeah.
All right, we will double check the notice. Close public hearing. Inclined to grant the requested variance with the changes that remove the parapet to reduce the encroachment into the rear yard. Thank you.
Thanks.
Can we move on to the next item?
Moving to item number 11, case number 2016-005500VAR, 151 Bronte Street, front setback and mass reduction variances sought. Project sponsor?
Good morning. Hey, Scott. My name is Mason Kirby. I'm the project architect for the project at 151 Bronte. It's a unique condition. Regarding the nature of this site, in that one neighbor to the left of the plan as it's proposed has a 6'5" front setback. The opposite neighbor is set back almost 31 feet. The nature of our variance request is to receive relief from section 242 in regards to the 650 square foot mass reduction, a requirement that is in large part informed by the enforcement of a front setback requirement. On the left and right of the plans that I'm showing you, you can see that the nature of the calculation is such that nothing is incurring any further into the rear of the yard. Pardon me for one sec, I'm going to flip pages. The primary nature of the project is to literally add an additional level on top of an existing split-story building, which is located in plan left, drawing number 3, two bedrooms and a stairway. I think the critical component of consideration that we've worked to develop involves respecting at that third level three existing property line windows on the adjacent neighbor's property. And if you can see them called out, there are three blips, adjacent neighbor windows, if I could show you on the screen, 1, 2, 3. I'll let you get caught up. So I'm on sheet, I don't know if it matches.
I'll follow on here.
Okay, cool. So in this rendering sheet, I would draw your attention to the upper right-most image that describes the existing adjacent windows that are a feature of the adjacent property. And we have not gone any further back and pulled off a generous amount from those windows, enough so that a view can be considered to be maintained, at least in that respect. I think that clearly this is a unique situation where if one were to apply the planning code as it exists today, it would render the development of this parcel moot in many respects. I think the nature of the request that we're asking is in continuing to support the nature of the general plan. And I think we've provided some findings, some opinions of findings, if you will. And if you have any questions, I'm happy to see the rest of the time.
Thank you. Just to confirm, the is it going from 2 to 4 bedrooms?
It's going from, it's a very difficult thing to qualify. That one of the existing bedrooms would literally be a wall-to-wall bed if you put a bed in it. So, yeah, it's going from 2 to 4 bedrooms, yes.
Oh, but a better quality.
Yeah, I don't know that it would comply with current code. The existing house, when it was built, was about 500 square feet. So it was very, very small.
I believe the Section 311 notice expired on July 13th, and there were no DRs filed.
That's my understanding as well.
And then the portion at the rear, which you noted, the where you're not extending as far back at that top level, is there's no roof deck or anything in that location as well.
That's a true statement.
Okay. Thank you. We'll see if there's any public comment. Item number 11 for 151 Bronte Street.
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. I'm a member of the East Slope Design Review Board. Here's the letter that we sent to the architect after our review. We had two reviews. And essentially, the letter says we support the project, we support the variance, with the exception of the mass reduction. We think the purpose of mass reduction is very specific for our neighborhood to inhibit out-of-character buildings that are too large for whatever street they're on, so that we would like to protest the idea of piling on by giving a variance for the front and another variance for mass reduction. We think that's excessive. Section 242 is very specific for our neighborhood, surveyed by existing buildings that were there. And that's pretty much my report. I would like to mention, we got a couple of letters from neighbors after our review meetings, worried about construction constrictions of this dead-end street, and the fact that buildings proposals on that block are getting sort of excessive compared to what's there now. But that doesn't have anything to do with approving the project. I would like to ask that perhaps you could ask the project sponsors to attend to the dangerous steps at the sidewalk area at that dead end. And if you've ever visited the site, if you're not watching, you'll trip off. And so they could possibly renovate the steps in some way to make them less dangerous. Thank you.
Thank you. Just one question. So I understand the front setback variance is supported, but not the mass reduction. Are there specific areas as to where you believe mass should be reduced?
Because in this, we didn't have the final plans that you've seen now in our review, so that we just want to endorse the mass reduction idea that it works in our neighborhood and it works for a whole lot of other projects. So I couldn't tell you where you needed to slice 4 feet off the thing.
Thank you.
Any
other public comment on this item number 11 for 151 Bronte Street? Seeing no other public comment, project sponsor, do you want to rebut that and maybe kind of put some of your analysis as to the mass reduction? Because as you noted, one of the reasons that you're triggering the mass reduction is because of the extensive setback of the adjacent property. And under the mass reduction, that area, which is not compliant, kind of counts against you, but even what's existing. So,
sure, I'd be happy to. And I would acknowledge and respect, as a resident of the East Slope, the mass reduction makes sense and it works. I think in this particular instance, the nature of how you would calculate the front yard setback fundamentally impacts the building area, and that fundamentally impacts our ability to comply with mass reduction, and in as much as there would be relief given by a front yard setback modification, if you will, so too does follow the 242 request. So they're, in my mind, they're bundled together as part of a holistic design. I would tell you that the plans that we had provided when we met with the East Slope Design Review Board were fairly similar to what we're presenting today, and of course they have gone through the 311 notice process without any DRs. This is a technical diagram, and I'm sorry that it's not coming out very clearly, but in essence, and now my vision is
wrong.
The front yard setback line, were we to calculate it relative to the adjacent neighbor, would be almost 20 feet from the front of the property. And it, I think, is an undue circumstance because this was built hodgepodge some time ago, before this was probably even a paved street, that the formation of the home for the adjacent structure really sets the criteria for what we're considering today. The nature of the street at Bronte is such that it continues and dead ends right in front of this property. There is a DPW wall, and then Bronte continues after the expiration of a publicly planted area. No portion of this property has anything to do with the nature of that sort of transition, if you will, but there are two lots on the left and right hand side of the street, which are one lot down, that straddle that jump in elevation that Bronte makes from the upper part of Bronte to the lower part of Bronte. So I would just acknowledge that this is a specifically unique circumstance, and we have worked with the client and the neighbors to establish a synthetic solution that respects a balance in that respect. So I.
Okay, so the steps that the concerns are raised about the steps, those are the steps between the elevation change on Bronte and.
That's correct.
Those are under the purview of the Department of Public Works there, because they're not on private property, right?
Yeah, if I could ever be on record as saying the word dog's breakfast in a public forum. There's a lot going on at that street, and there's been a lot in the past. Not too dissimilar from a project that we saw with on Mayflower Street, I believe. You know, it's a paper street. It's been made up by neighbors as we go along. So I think the opportunity to make a concession, to, you know, assert making it a legitimate, you know, connection, is something to be considered, and it would be in keeping with the city's priorities. But I don't think that it is necessarily a part of this scope of this project. But again, I would completely acknowledge that there is a lot of development right at this part of Bernal Heights. There's probably 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 projects all happening at this dead end street. And I acknowledge and apologize, and you know, it sort of is what it is. So,
as to the construction impacts, have you and the property owner been in contact with those that are developing those other properties to see how you could try to reduce impacts, the construction impacts? I mean, certainly if you have a lot of projects going on in one small short block.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that I have a total of 2. And, you know, one across the street from one another, but
you're working on yourself.
Yes.
Okay.
True state. Well, I'm a party to them. I'm, okay, you know, the architect. There are 2 that are upslope. There was a lot that was subdivided, and 2 big homes were put in. It's a little bit like a rash or an itch. I'm sort of waiting until it becomes operable with regard to how these projects might relate to one another, and then I can exert some sort of influence. I'll tell you, in my experience in Mill Valley, one of the requirements that is a very contemporary request is that there be a construction management plan be part of some sort of public record. I'd acknowledge that that could be considered a reach by some literalists, but it might be something that could end run a variety of questions and concerns with neighbors. And frankly, it would be something that we would want to promote, because my office is only several blocks from here, so I don't want to poop in the kitchen, if you know what I mean.
All right. Well, thank you for that.
Okay.
So with that, I close the public hearing. I also do appreciate the mass reduction requirements and how it serves to function and to reduce the scale of development in a way that goes beyond just the setback requirements. I think in this case, given the nature of the existing setbacks of the adjacent building and how the mass reduction requirements work, it does penalize the property, and so I can't see a justification given the conditions of the adjacent properties and how that impacts it to justify the granting of the variance for the mass reduction. With that, again, public hearing is closed. Inclined to grant the requested variances, and we can move on to the next item.
Moving to item number 12, case number 2017-014134 VAR, 225-227 Hoffman Avenue, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor for 225-227 Hoffman Avenue, rear yard variance sought.
But did hear from staff that there was some discussion about continuing this item, but I'm not aware of any request to continue this item.
Okay. So do you want to hold off, or you want to?
Well, is there anyone here for public comment on this item number 12 for 225-227 Hoffman? Let's hold this item until the end.
Okay.
And go on to the next item.
Okay, moving to item number 13, case number 2017-008798 VAR, 50 Fanning Way, side yard variance sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Hello, good morning. I'm Luke Prakoch. I'm the homeowner, and I will present the information for you. See if I can zoom in on this. This is the subject property here. It's on Fanning Way, which is a short street with only about four or five houses on it. And as you can see, it's a very steep slope street. The uphill side of our house is only one story, and it becomes two stories over the garage here. As the house exists now, it is the shortest house on the street. The house down the street here is three stories with tall ceilings, and the houses up the street become progressively taller. So our proposal is to add a partial second story over the uphill side of this building to add two bedrooms and two bathrooms up there. The north wall, which is shown here, of the existing structure is non-compliant because it doesn't meet the side yard setback requirements for the north side. So in order to alter that wall by extending it up and back 8 feet, we need a variance. So here's a plot plan showing the property. And it is this setback here that we're requesting a variance for. And it would be to extend the wall vertically and also this 8-foot rearward extension. Here's a front view. Showing the extension up, and it would not come to higher than the house next door, and there would still be the two side yard setbacks from both neighbors would still exist at 6 feet. Let's see. In terms of the variance requirements, exceptional extraordinary circumstances, the lot is irregular in shape. It's pie-shaped, and it's very wide at the lower portion where the calculation was done for the setback, and it actually becomes progressively narrower. It slopes in two directions to the south and west, and so it's actually optimal to construct a vertical addition over the northernmost portion of the building to minimize the visual impact. The other unusual thing is that the long axis of the house is perpendicular to the long axis of the lot. So in order to minimize any increase in footprint of the building, we are proposing a short rearward extension of 8 feet. and that allows to capture some square footage on the main floor so that we can put a stairway between the two levels. And there is a wide yard, side yard on the opposite downhill side of the building, which mitigates the setback, combined setback requirements. The uphill property, immediate uphill property, has no windows on that side of the building, so the addition would not alter the light or air to that building at all. And the rearward property is far uphill and can't even see the addition. The second finding regards the practical difficulty of not getting the variance. Literally enforcing the code would require us to shift the addition southward on the building, which would actually increase the proportion of the existing length of the building visible from the street and increase the mass of the building visible, having a larger visual impact. It would also create an engineering challenge in that the northernmost wall would not be vertically aligned, and that would result in compromised seismic integrity. The third finding, that the variance is necessary for preservation and enjoyment of the property right. The addition is a modest increase of 940 square feet, roughly. And as I mentioned, the rear extension is necessary to allow for a stairway so that,
if you could just finish up that last
thought. Yeah, so that's the reason for the rear extension.
And so the building would be going from two bedrooms to three bedrooms with a master?
It would go from, it has two bedrooms and a bath. It was originally built as two bedrooms and a bath. There's a kind of a recreation room and bath downstairs that was added by a previous owner. So counting that, it's currently three bedrooms and two baths. And we would add two bedrooms and two baths at the top.
Okay. So the total bedroom count would be five?
Five, if you count the lower bedroom, which is, like I said, more of a recreation room.
Okay, thank you. And the 311 notification is underway, expires soon, I think next week.
That's right.
Great, we'll see if there's any public comment. Any public comment on item number 13 for 50 Fanning Way? Item 13, 50 Fanning Way. There's no public comment. Close the public hearing, plan to grant the request of variance. Appreciate your very thorough presentation and going through the points as well.
Thank you.
The justifications of the variance, agreeing that, you know, this is an alteration that would have the least visual impact given the topography of the site, and also noting and appreciating the structural issues that you noted, building above the existing bearing walls and additional habitable space, additional bedrooms. And it's just an existing condition that is being vertically increased. So, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Moving to item number 14, case number 2017-006491 VAR 2859 Filbert Street, rear yard variance on. Project sponsor? You have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning. My name is Dan Phipps. I'm the architect on the project, and I'd like to. Some of the points that were made for this variance have been made in the written material. What's very important about this property is that a variance was provided here for a rear yard deck many years ago, and the thinking on the time was that they had some rear yard space, but what they ended up doing was creating a vacuum down below of this sort of tunnel or below earth kind of situation with a three-story solid wall to the east, a one-story solid concrete wall to the south, and the building itself there. There are pictures in this variance that show this area that's just sort of become the, not attractive nuisance, but I call it that, in the sense that there's no way to get to this space except from the garage. It's underneath this deck. It's on the north side of this concrete wall with a fence that is demising the two properties, one to the south and this property, and again, a three-story building to the east. This area is a non-usable space on the property. It is a place for mold to grow. It's a place for homeless to potentially get into, and it's a place that is just a non-space. All people on this block, and most blocks, have access to rear yards from habitable space. The deck above provided that, but this provides a non-space. It just is a non-space. It's a tree falling in a forest kind of project. Had I been involved in the earlier variance, I would have made it a habitable space underneath there. It's just a lost space. We have talked to neighbors, the neighbors to the east, the neighbors to the south, each of these adjacent properties, and also the neighbor to across the street to the north. And all three have provided letters of support, and I believe you have them in your packages, but I'm not sure that they've got to you in time, so I have copies of those to provide you. And I can provide that here. Those are those three letters. This is not impacting anyone here. There's no light, there's no air, there's no views, there's no anything impacted on this property. Other people have their rear yards, and some few people have properties, buildings within the rear yard on this block. There's two or three properties in that block that have buildings in the rear yard. Again, this is a tree falling in a forest. You can, from the city, from the street side of Filbert, below the deck and above the fence, there's probably about a 4-foot space in here. We're replanting this thing to make it a usable space for the owner, and a place that doesn't have to have the mold. And I think it's all within those pictures. I can point out the one picture. I don't know why I've labeled these things in numbers, but it says the rear yard area where I show the one story. With one story retaining wall and the 6-foot fence. There's none of it is visible. If you see this, and also on the east side, when you're on the deck, there's a blank wall of stucco, two plus stories, going all the way on the east property line. And this would make something usable for the owner, and something that is not a maintenance issue and not a security issue for the owner. And I hope that you will grant this permit. The owner's here also. If you have any questions, you're welcome to ask that of her and of me as well. I don't think I need to take any more of your time, but I will gladly answer any questions.
Thank you. So I believe it's been the original property owner that back in 87 received the variance to build the deck, and then also in 2002 sought a variance for what seems to be the identical project that you're bringing today, and that variance was denied in 2002. So can you explain what facts may have changed that would justify granting a variance now when one was denied in 2002?
I think the homelessness issue in San Francisco, the mold and the material that's down there, has just become more evident that this is a no man's land in this area, and that it just is an inaccessible, unaccessible. I mean, it shows up in your pictures that it's just not an area. I don't know how they presented it, but it's like it should have been part of the original application. It should have been included in that process, because there is no harm for this happening. There's no reason for I would imagine it would have been granted had somebody presented, you know, this is a one story addition to the side of the building with a roof deck on top of that that would take care of that problem.
How is the homeless crisis justification for this variance?
There's a gate on the side that somebody can get into and go into that spot, and nobody goes into this area. Therefore,
has that happened?
It has happened one time. So that's, but I don't know if it's going to happen again. We don't know. Okay. I can't address that.
The gate is open, or the gate is?
It's unlocked for the garbage carriers to go in and get it. There could be a key provided, I guess, to those.
Will that change if the project is approved?
It should change, yes. We'll for certain put a key on there, but more importantly, there'll be somebody in that area to be monitoring this.
And what's the use proposed, the exercise room?
It's an exercise room and such, so she can age in place.
All right. We'll see if there's any public comment on this item, and we're on item number 14 for 2859 Fulbert Street. public comment?
You have 3 minutes, ma'am.
Good morning. My name is Ann Harvey. And first of all, I'd like to... I'm a resident of this block. It's a block in Cow Hollow. And this is a kind of unique house. This house is on Filbert Street. It's actually a corner house, Filbert and Lyon Street. And so the house goes two directions. It's actually kind of hard to figure out the address of the house. Because at first glance, it looks like it's on Lyon Street, which is right at the Presidio wall. So it has across the street the whole Presidio protecting it from everybody. And contractors remarked to me, frankly, recently, I can't believe you don't have homeless crawling around here. He couldn't figure out why. Now, there are a couple people who camp out on the sidewalk, but I, frankly, maybe 10 years ago, had someone camping out on my, well, sitting on my front porch, my front stairway. But after turning the lights on, he went away. It's not a problem in the neighborhood, sir. Now, there's kind of a question of what does it mean to have zoning, and why do we have requirements, and do people follow the rules? And I like the fact that you have these criteria, exceptional, extraordinary circumstances. There's nothing exceptional about this house that needs a variance. And it's interesting to look at the whole history of that neighborhood. They were built at the same time. The whole Lyon Street, Filbert, it was built as one block, coordinated, and they kind of go together as a unit in terms of roofs, balconies, and setback. It's a beautiful house. I walk by it twice a day going downhill and uphill. I'm on the uphill side. I guess that's south. And I can't figure out why anyone wants to build an exercise room there. Well, you can build anything there, I guess you want. But why change the house? To my mind, it's in perfect condition. It's beautiful. Lovely gardens, well maintained. I've never seen anyone going inside or outside the house. I've never even seen the owners, even though I've lived there since 1988, a block away. And we often have neighborhood meetings on 311 notifications. That's how we get to meet our neighbors. But the architect blends in with the rest of the houses, and what I object to is constant, we have constant construction in our neighborhood now. People rip down a house, first they say they're going to remodel, and the house disappears. And we sometimes sign agreements with neighbors, no roof deck, and all of a sudden what happens? There's a roof deck, they get a permit, I appeal it, and then they withdraw something, and it's still... Things are getting bad, getting granted all the time, and it's constant construction.
Thank you.
And I think we need a peace and quiet in the neighborhood sometime. I don't see any reason to do anything to the house. I think it's beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Any other public comment on this item? And we're on item 14 for 2859 Filbert Street. Seeing no other public comment, project sponsor, you have a 3 minute rebuttal.
I'd like to clarify that this building is part of a development that was done, I believe, in the 60s as part of seven homes. This one in particular, being on the corner, has the unusual situation with the rear yard, and that's why it's such an unusual thing. Both the, or actually I think it's three, maybe four properties on Lyon Street, when you walk out the back of their property, you walk right into a nice garden. When you, the next door building on Filbert and the one after that, you walk right out onto a rear yard. Each one facing south, the ones on Filbert Street facing south, the ones on Lyon Street facing east. This one here, you walked out through the garage in the original building into a garden, if you want to call it a garden space, but you had to go through the garage to get to a garden, and you had a three-story building to the east. You had a one-story concrete wall to the south with a fence on top of that of 6 feet, so you're about, you know, 15 some odd feet high on that side, so you're in this hole. It's a very unusual situation here on this property and pretty much anywhere in San Francisco to have this thing built into a hole like this. And this is not asking anything that impacts anybody, and it doesn't, it created this very unusual situation on this corner lot. Had they cut away something more on the south side in the original development? Had they filled in the earth along Filbert Street and raised the earth so it was it would have been a rear yard that it was accessible from the kitchen, living room, dining room floor and not off a garage? It'd be a different situation. But the topography dictated, I think, the solution, and therefore it created this problem by default, and we're just trying to make it a livable situation and not have any harm caused to anybody here and get something that everybody else has, accessible space, and not have an attractive nuisance in the area. And I have pictures, I mean, there's a big picture of the block that you're welcome to see. I mean, you know what? You probably know.
I think.
There's two different. Oh, sure.
So the adjacent,
he has a different one here. He has a different one.
The adjacent property to the south, most of those adjacent properties to the south don't have any construction at the rear.
There's no construction in the rear, no construction. Okay. This one has no construction. This one, I can show this to you as well. Here's this one. Here's this one.
I think you go to the mic.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. I appreciate you. You may want to finish those comments, and you can.
I think I have pretty much finished the comments, but if I need to and would like to be have it explained here too, I'm happy to do so.
I appreciate that. If you have nothing further to say, I think I'm.
I have nothing further to say then. Thank you.
With that, I'll close the public hearing. I think other cases that we've looked at today seeking variances have been adding dwelling units, have been adding additional habitable space through the form of bedrooms. I think in this case, in addition to the fact that there was a previous nearly identical proposal, if not identical proposal, back in 2002, which was denied, looking at the findings there, I don't see any changes, anything that has changed that would lead me to make the findings, all five findings that are necessary to justify granting a variance. So with that, I would close the public hearing, and I'm not supportive of the variance application, but also deny the variance as a nearly identical project had been denied in 2002. And we can go back to
item number 12. If the sponsor for item number 12, case number 2017-014134 VAR, 225-227 Hoffman Avenue, rear yard variance sought. Is the sponsor here?
Seeing no sponsor, maybe they have not shown because they're aware that the department is not supportive of their application as currently proposed. I'm not inclined to grant it as they proposed, and certainly not if they cannot come to justify their case. The residential design team did ask for a 3-foot setback of the deck that they're proposing at the rear from the adjacent side property line. I would lean towards a condition like that on this project, but given that there's no one here to defend this, I think we should continue the item. And I think, are we looking at December now for?
We can continue 20? In August.
Oh, we can do August. How many cases do we have now?
We have 13 cases.
Okay, so we'll continue this 1 month to the August 22nd variance hearing, and hopefully the project sponsor will revise the project to address the concerns that have been raised numerous times to them by the department.
So that'll be our last item of the agenda then.
Thank you. And with that, we can go on to general public comment if there's any public comment on items that were not on the agenda today. Seeing none, we close the public hearing. We will reconvene on August 22nd. Corey Teague will be acting zoning administrator for that hearing. Thank you.